I would keep that up here. Yep. You can put it there. It's fine. Okay. God, you're so good. It's interesting that song was sung and you mentioned it, Dale, because that has been one of my favorite songs this year so far. And as we get to the end of this message, I might ask you to come up and play that song again, Matt. So just a thought there. So thank you for leading worship. It was beautiful. And Nelson, thank you for leading out in devotions. Leading out in Sunday school. I really appreciated that. And as I was listening, there were some things that were coming to my mind. And I want to just put a few of them out. Obviously, there's a lot of things we could talk about. But I want to put one thing out that was coming to my mind is a place that I believe that we as a church are at. But I'm going to compare it to a business. In a business, number one, you have the workers. So a guy says, you know what, I'm going to start building mini barns. And so he goes out and he starts building mini barns, and he is the worker and the businessman and the owner and all of that stuff. He does an incredible job. After a while, he's so busy, he has to hire somebody. He hires another guy and then two guys, and he becomes the manager. So he has the workers, and then he has the managers. And he is the worker and the he is also the manager, as he is also a worker. And whenever his employees don't show up, guess what? He becomes a worker as well as the manager, trying to pay the bills, trying to do all the accounting, all the payroll, all of this stuff, and do the work whenever his workers don't show up. And that right there is where most small businesses peak at. To get between the, to get between the worker, I'll try to be more careful with my writing this time. Where's Jess at? If I don't write it right, she's not even here. I'm going to tell her she can come write it for me. All right, so right here is where people tend to peek out in businesses. And I would like to suggest that's where we have peeked out as church. But to go to in a business, to go to the next level, you have to have... communicators. And this is someone who communicates with conviction. They are thinking and they are planning and they are able to communicate the vision and pass it on to their managers. And their managers are also passing it on to their workers, managers and workers. And they are walking it out. This is where, how do I say this? My dad was always here. He has a fairly successful business, but he never managed to get to this point. And I realized, wow, from this place here, running a big business doesn't look very exciting. It looks like a ton of work. From this place here, we're actually able to step back, and you don't have to be involved tediously in everything. It actually is a lot of fun. But it's not the fourth level. The fourth level, let me say, these are the $40,000 people. These are the $100,000, $100,000+. These are $1 million guys who are $1 million. And these are the billionaires or trillionaires, whatever it is. The guys that can imagine it. If you can imagine it, you can do it, right? That's what they say. Catch is, these guys are making billions. You can't pay somebody to imagine it, what's inside of you. If you got that, you're the guy that's going to have to do it. You cannot pay somebody to communicate what God has downloaded to you. You get paid the millions to stand up there and communicate the journey that you have walked. And you don't walk start here. You don't. You're going to have to take the journey. And somewhere in this, crossing that transition is a transition of extreme mindset shift, leadership shift. Your whole identity shifts. The whole thing has to shift. In the ministry, way of Jesus' ministry, we have people who are dreaming. about each of the areas that they're focusing on. And stuff is happening. I'd like to say we got some communicators out there. In the church, we need to go there where we have people who are paid to be passionate and communicate to this group and to others around us. People who are paid to imagine it and dream it. And that's what we are saying we want, but it just doesn't happen just that easy. And I know there's a lot of things involved. And so this is just one thing that came to my mind, so I thought I'd write it out. And it's not something we need to stay stuck on. It's just something I wanted to show. It made sense to me when I saw that, and I immediately transitioned it to church. As soon as I saw that, I said, oh, my word, it's exactly what happens in ministry and church. So, okay. So, the message this morning, how does it tie into with what Nelson talked about? I don't know, but I think it does, just a little bit. And I want to introduce what I want to talk about. I want to talk about knowing God. There we go. Knowing God. What does it mean to know God? How many of you know God? Right, good. What does it mean to know God? Communicate. Okay. And you're just looking up here now. What does it mean to know God?
Study who he is.
We study about him, we know him. Study about him, that's true. Yep. Okay. So I'm going to go into two things. That's all I have is two things. I'm sure there's way more on what it means to know God. The first one, I just got a revelation of that this week. I don't know why it only took me this week to see it this clearly, but this week is when it actually hit me. And that is to enter into his kingdom. To enter into his kingdom. You say, wait a minute, what do you mean by that? Okay, this verse is what kind of hit me new. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I believe salvation is the doorway to God's kingdom. That's my belief. And I also believe that we have a lot of Christians in the Western church who are stuck in the doorway, trying to tell others about the kingdom of God. Wow. Let's look at another verse. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born again, salvation, through water, baptism, and the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that, you cannot enter the kingdom. That looks to me like the salvation word is a doorway. If salvation is only a doorway, then we need to get through the doorway and walk in the kingdom. Wow. Let's see the next one. Jesus, after he was baptized, up until the point he was baptized, there is no recorded miracles. He gets baptized. Immediately he's taken out into the desert to be tempted. 40 days, he fasts for 40 days. Then he's tempted, but he comes back, and this is the first verse that says, from that time forward began Jesus to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Let's talk about the kingdom of heaven. From that time forward. I didn't hear him talking about salvation. Yes, he does, but his focus is on the kingdom. What is the kingdom? So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the kingdom. However, I want you to think about it from this angle. What if, I won't say that, what if you were suddenly required to leave the United States of America and the destination they sent you to was Iraq? All right, your citizenship here is being terminated. You're being transferred to Iraq, and you have to sign all the papers and enter Iraq. This is your new home. To embrace it, you're going to have to learn a new language. You're going to have to learn their culture. They're not adapting to you. You're going to have to learn how to adapt to them and figure out how to live there. You're going to have to take it on to you to figure out what their language is. You're going to have to take it on you to figure out their culture, and you're going to adapt to them. They are not adapting to you. When we get entrance into the kingdom of heaven, there is a kingdom culture. There is a kingdom lifestyle. There is a kingdom language. There are things that we have to adapt to. He doesn't adapt to us. We adapt to him. So we got to figure out what that is. What does that look like? What is that? Are we adapting to it, or are we adapting to Western culture, civilization, what church tells you it should be? What is in the kingdom? Okay, the next one is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. All right, how many of you have tasted and seen that God is good? Great. I want to compare this one to a group of guys going out to eat. So, throw this on the ground. So, a group of guys go out to eat. And they sit down, they start paging through the menu. They're at a restaurant that nobody's been to. Now, it's not Applebee's, but just imagine you're at a restaurant. None of the guys have been there. And you're looking through the menu. Hey, look at this steak, guys. This steak looks amazing. Check it out. See the picture? See? It's grilled, it's amazing. Wow, we should buy that steak. You should buy that steak. Good. And they look at you. You look at the guy. Well, did you taste it? No, I've never eaten it, but this is good. I'm told it's really good. Okay, so you start paging over through over the burgers. This burger looks amazing. You guys, we should get a burger. Did you ever eat it? No, I never ate it, but it's amazing. It's really good. We have people who have memorized the menu. How many of you have memorized the menu? Yeah, I've memorized the menu. It's a good thing. You go to a restaurant, you actually know, you've been there enough that you know exactly where to go to. Yeah, I know how to do that. Did my mic just go off? It's on. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. However, one of the first things I do when I go to a restaurant is I ask the waitress, hey, what's your signature dish? What are you guys known for? That's what I want to taste. Ah. Oh, so she tells me what everybody else has experienced and likes at their restaurant. You know what? That's what I want. I'll try that because I like to try new things. I'll try that. Now, when they come around and say, well, I don't know. I don't know what people like here. Yeah, there's not. Huh. Come on. I want something good. You know, what's your signature dish? And they don't know. They don't care. That's not a good waitress. I'm not interested. And I'm tempted to like, I don't feel like giving her a tip. She should know what the best food is. She should know her product. She don't. So how in the world am I tying this into God being good? How am I tying that into that? If the Bible is a menu and we look at what it says and we read it and we know it, which is good, and that's all the farther we get. And we tell people, this is what the Bible says. This is what good. This is how God is good. You should experience him this way. We are only talking about the word according to our knowledge and experience. And so we all experience the food differently. How many of you going to order a rare steak? How many are you going to order well done? How many are you going to order medium? How many are you going to want mushrooms and onions on it? How many are you going to say, no way? How many want steak sauce? How many of you say, no way? How many of you love steak? How many of you say, no way? I'm going to take shrimp, whatever it is. We all have a dip. So some people, steak is awesome. The next person, they don't even like it. We all have a different experience when we eat. We're sitting at the table, 10 guys sitting around a table, and we're all ordering a steak. We're all going to order it different. We're all going to experience it different. And so I'm telling you guys about this steak that I ordered. It's incredible. I love this thing. You guys have to experience it. And yes, you got to experience it rare. That's just the way it was made to eat. I've never eaten rare steak. I don't. But just telling you. However I like it, that's what I'm going to present to you. This is amazing, guys. You got to eat this steak this way. But if you're over here and you ate the steak and you had it well done with mushrooms and onions and peppers, and that's the way steaks rock, you're going to say you're crazy. That's a bloody steak. You don't know. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. You got to eat it well done with, and it got to be 180 degrees when it's cooked or whatever it is. You got to have a well done steak with all the fixings on the side and maybe some steak sauce. Two totally different experiences. And I believe that God is big enough and broad enough and wild enough that we can all go through life and experience God in a radically different area, way in the exact same area. Wow. So we got to be careful that we're going to willing to hear how you experience God, and also not to put how I experience God, shove that down your throat. This is how I experience God. But it don't mean you have to experience him like that. And if you experienced him like that, wow, that's awesome. I want to learn from you. And one of the ways we do that is through testimonies. We hear each other's testimonies. So be warned. I want to hear your testimonies this morning. It's not just going to be me up here talking, because I want to talk about how we experience God. And we've all experienced him differently. So we said we experience God. And we experience that God is good. Now, oops, I don't know what I did there. Have you experienced Jesus as your Savior? Raise your hand if you have a testimony right now of having experienced Jesus as your Savior. All right, who wants to come up here and share your testimony real short of how you experienced Jesus as your Savior and what happened to you and how awesome it was? Come on up.
When I was 10 years old.
So microphone on.
When I was 10 years old, I was sitting in revival meetings, and my heart was pounding away because it was a whole summer long I was being convicted that I need to surrender to God. I tried to do it on my own. It didn't make a difference. And it was when I was 10 years old. It was at a revival meetings at Peckway Church on a Sunday evening. Aiden Troy was preaching, and he's gone now. But when I surrendered, I went home that night, it was different. I finally found peace that I was looking for, and it started me on a journey that I'm still on today.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So the goal is you tell your testimony, and someone who has never experienced salvation, they're going to hear about that and say, wow, Steve King went to revival meetings. He experienced God, and his life has never been the same ever since. I want that too. I want that too. So most of us here, we've experienced salvation. That's awesome. Okay, let's go on to another aspect of God. Let's just take the names of God. God has all kinds of names. Have we experienced each one of these aspects of God? Do we know God? How do we know God? Okay, here's how you know. If you've actually experienced, if you've actually tasted the menu, you will know him. Jehovah, I don't even know how to say that last time, Mekodeshiam, the Lord who sanctifies you. How many of you have experienced where God came in and he sanctified your life? He set you apart, made you holy, and took you on a journey of sanctifying you through something. Probably wasn't fun, but you were very aware of what God was doing in your life. How many of you know that and you have a testimony you want to share? Come on up here. Just one person. You may.
Just one small area that God is still sanctifying me in is just having kids. I mean, it's you can't stay too selfish for too long when you have kids, so that's just one small area.
Thank you. So, great. So now people know that you're going to be sanctified if you're going to have kids. So everybody's going to want to have kids, right? God's going to set you apart and make you holy in whatever area it is that you have to die to self when you have bring children into this world. And it's a good thing. All right, thank you. Next one is Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's my friend. He is like a brother. A friend sticketh closer to brother. When in life has God just walked through a situation with you and has been that friend? He's been that brother. He hasn't let you go. He hasn't let you down. He guided you. He was your guide. He was your comforter. When in your life has that happened? How many have a testimony to share about that? Raise your hand. And if you want to share it, come on up here. Yeah, come up here. Tell these people. I know, but you're not that old.
All right. The first thing that comes to mind with the Lord is my shepherd is the time that I went through when I was not here at church for, 9 months or something like that when I was not here at church. I think I experienced God as a shepherd, and even to this day, but more than I ever did before, because he was there the whole time through it. So,
amen. Thank you. And so what we learned from that is even when it feels like we're high and dry and we're all by ourselves, God was with Jason. And he was struggling and trying to figure out what his next step is, how he's supposed to live. God is going to be with you. Thank you. Next one. Jehovah. I don't even know this word either. I won't even try to say it. The Lord, our righteousness. How many of you have been in a situation or a place where you knew that you were a sinner? It's sort of like salvation, but a little more distinguished. You knew that you were a sinner. You knew that you needed saved. And then God comes in and he cleans you up. And he puts his cloak of righteousness over you. And all of a sudden, now you are free to walk in purity, in holiness and righteousness. And it's not a constant battle and a constant fight. The Lord's righteousness is wrapped around you. How many of you experienced that in one area of your life at least? Raise your hand. And if you want to give that testimony, come on up. Not too many hands up. Nobody experienced that?
So I know what it's like to just have something in your life that you know, gotta go. I wasn't trying to rhyme or anything, but the righteous, when you take on the righteousness of Christ, it is so. Like, it just feels so awesome. And this is not something that I've experienced once. I experience it time and time again. And when there's things in my life, when there's, you know, we rub shoulders with the world, and there's things that build up in our life, and sometimes we just need that cleansing again. And when we take on the righteousness of Christ and understand it's not by our own works, it's not our own righteousness, but it's the righteousness of God. It's so awesome.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So now you know that there's going to be areas in your life that God wants to come in and make righteous. He's done it for Ernie. He can do it for you. He's done it for me. He can do it for you. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. How many of you walked through a situation in life that was tough? You struggled, but through it, you faced whatever it was, and walk through it, and the peace of the Lord was over your life. It was incredible. And you want to come up here? How many of you want to come up here and share how you faced that journey, and God was with you, and there was incredible peace?
I feel like I'm still walking through that journey with her, but I felt it, especially when I was pregnant with her, not knowing if she would even be alive when she was born. And then just having that deep sense of she is going to fulfill what God intended her to fulfill. And I still feel that, you know, with everything with her, I still know that there is a greater plan with her life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. If I remember correctly, before she was born at the prayer meetings, you were saying, I feel peace. That peace, she felt that peace before this even happened, and she walked through the journey, and that peace has been with her. Thank you. That's an awesome testimony. As we give our testimonies, people hear, oh, wow, she walked through a journey. She had the peace of God with her. I can do that for my journey, for where I'm at in life. These testimonies are meant from wherever journey we're walking, whatever area of life we're experiencing God, for others to be learning and benefiting from it. And we can keep going through all kinds of names of gods. But know that each one in here is knowing God in a specific way. And unless we share it with other people, or as we share it with the church, we welcome the church into that journey and into experiencing God in those areas also. Yahweh, Lord and Master, who knows and has experienced God as Lord and Master in their life, where it was all about obedience. You knew what you had to do, and you said, yes, Lord. And you stepped out probably in faith and did what God called you to do. There was no excitement about it. There was no passion about it. But it was, yes, Lord, you are my Lord and you are my Master. I'm on it. How many have experienced that? Good. Who wants to come up and give a short testimony about it? All right, come on up.
I will say it's more of a lifestyle for me, but I remember one of the first time it was so clear to me, and I'll share this moment today. It was right around, I was 19 or 20. And I was had a spot along the creek that I like to go pray. And I was praying that day. I was praying for our youth group. And I felt God lay something on my heart. I want you to do this. I remember getting up, walking around, and there was a battle raging in my mind. I did not want to do it. I mean, I did not want to do that. Finally, I said yes. And the next time the youth group was together, we were having a Bible study. And after the Bible study was finished, I stood up and I talked. Up at that point in my life, in the youth group that I was involved with then, I felt very alone. I felt alone. And I don't even remember what I said, but I do remember the feelings that were going through my heart, because it was deathly quiet in there when I was talking. And I don't even know what I was hitting on. I don't remember. But it was so quiet. And tradition was at that time that after the topic is shared, that we broke up into small groups and we prayed. And when we prayed, I mean, when we broke up a small group, it just stayed deathly quiet. And then we broke up into small groups, and we prayed. And I think when we got together, it was still quiet. And I don't even remember what I hit on. It was something that was burning in my heart. But that moment, my whole life changed. From that moment on, my life was different. I don't know, it was just different. The acceptance that I felt, and I don't know if it was me, I don't know if it was the other people, I don't know. But I know my acceptance that I felt on my journey at that time was from that point on, I was accepted. I felt accepted. It was a major turning point. So as far as giving a testimony, I felt the Lord saying, go this direction. I did it, and it changed me. And that was the beginning of my journey for being changed time and time again. But that was the first one.
Thank you. Adonai, where Jesus is our owner. What's that look like? I'm not myself, I'm not my own, but Christ. What does that look like? El Quana, where God is a jealous God. Much like a marriage, where the husband sees his wife flirting with another guy, and he's jealous, rightfully so. God's jealous for his bride. His jealousy for his bride has no selfishness. It has no control. It has no manipulation. But he loves her. He's a jealous God. When has God been jealous of you, of us, when we're flirting with things that he doesn't want us to flirt with? Jehovah Jireh, when has he been your provider? When you're at a place in life when you're ready to throw in the towel, and God came through and he provided for you in a miraculous, incredible way. Awesome. Have you experienced that? Jehovah Rapha, God your healer. When have you experienced God as your healer? Where your spouse or your family member or somebody that you know was sick and you gathered around them and you prayed for them and the person was healed. Have you experienced that? Do you live in that? Do you know God in each of these areas? Jehovah Nissa, the Lord is my banner. When we go out and we know that the Lord, it just feels like we're carrying a flag. We're flagged for the Lord. We go into an area and the presence of God goes with us. The banner of the Lord is over us and the way just opens up because God has given us his authority. Do we know that? Do we experience that? Do we praise God for Jehovah Nissa? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. That wherever you go, you know that the Lord is with you. You know the Lord will be there. I can go into the witches' covenant that's happening this year. I can go in there and the Lord will be there because I'm there. And you experience that time and time again. Wherever you go, the Lord is there because he's there in you. And you praise God because of that. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Now, if our testimonies are all 20 years ago, we probably have a problem. And what happens is we start this journey and we get a testimony, and then we run off of that testimony. God did this incredible work in my life, and it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and after a while, it's 20 years down the road, and we're still talking about this incredible testimony that God did 20 years ago. Guess what? God wants to redo those testimonies on a consistent basis. And that's why it's called a life of faith. We have to step out into the next expectancy and believe God's going to come through in each one of the areas that his name claims and says he is. And as we do that, we're going to have a testimony. As each one in the church does that, there is going to be a testimony. And it's out of that testimony, and this is what I was going to say and I forgot, out of each one of these names of God that you have experienced, I was wanting you to write it down, and I still suggest you do this. Go and write it down, your testimony about each name of God, and then we get up to worship, or we get up to pray, and what place do you pray from? What place do you worship from? I worship and I pray from a place of remembrance. Like the children of Israel. God said, put your 12 stones here. I want you to, and everywhere you go, put a pile of stones. And I want you to have this as a remembrance to your children. They're going to be like, Dad, what's that stone's all about? Oh, that's when God brought us through the Red Sea. That's when God delivered us of these people. That's when God brought the quail and the manna. That's the miracle God did. Son, daughter, tell them about it. Do we have those markers in our life? Do we praise God and do we worship God from that place in our heart? I'm telling you, when we worship God, when we praise God, when we live our life from that place in our heart, out of our heart comes emotion. Out of our heart comes gratefulness. God, we do thank you. We are grateful. Why? Not just because of where we're at right now. If we talk about where we're at right now, we might not feel that way. But if we go back to where God touched our lives and moved and did a miracle, we can praise in the moment for what he really done, what he has done and is doing in our life. And so the way I wanted to end is with singing that song, if you're open to that, Matt, singing that song, God, You're So Good, because that is one of the songs where it actually hit me. of worshiping him and saying, God, you're so good. And I'm sitting there saying, I'm just mouthing the words. Who else cares? Who else is just saying the words? I don't want to just say the words. I want to say this from my heart. How do I do that? And I don't know how it felt to you guys this morning, when you're worshiping God, you're so good. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to what was in your heart. But I was paying attention to what was in my heart and worshiping from where I was at in memory of each of these areas where God had touched and worked in my life. So Matt, come on up. And we're going to go through that song. And I'm asking, let's sing it from a place in your heart where you have a landmark, where you have experienced God, where he has touched your life, and you're going to worship him from that place. And it's as we go through these experiences as a person, as an individual, that we begin to know God, and we want to go out and tell others. We want to go out and give others. When we've experienced something good, hey, you guys got to experience this too. And it's the same way as a church. As we experience these areas as individuals, we are going to experience them as a church. And as we experience them as a church, we're going to want to go out as a church and say, guys, this is who God is. This is what we have to offer. This is what's in the kingdom. We want it. We want you to have it too. So go ahead. You can stand up. You can sit down. You can lay down.
Amazing love that welcomes me. The kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good.